information. Our surveys are about 60 questions. Each version is about 60 questions long. And they were mailed randomly out to households that the company identified as having children in them. And the parents were asked to pick the child whose birthday was next, that was under the age of 15. So there was an oversampling of minorities, but we did not get a very high minority return for blacks. We got about 6%. For Hispanics, it was higher. It was around 20%. So we did get many, many more white households to respond. Oddly enough, we had quite a large number of grandparents who were responding, which makes me wonder what's going on in the community. We had mothers and fathers, few step-parents, but then grandparents, and then the others, which could be foster care, cousins, sisters, brothers. But it was kind of interesting to notice that we did have quite a few grandparents. That was ranked number 4. Our income, household income reported was fairly high. It was around, we had quite a few who said they made $100,000. And quite frankly, I think they're fibbing because we had quite a few who said their kids were also on free lunch. I think it's very hard for people to report accurately or honestly about some things, and income is one of the noted things. We are doing some work now to kind of look at the questions that were skipped or missed or that just don't add up. If you look at the variables like the zip code, the income, and free lunch, does that make sense or not? Because we really need to kind of pay attention to the fact that, you know, no one wants to be considered a lesser than in any way. And so because this is all self-report that we can't back up with verification, you also have to kind of take some of that into consideration. But I also believe that parents or individuals look for an opportunity to tell. When they're in trouble or in pain or having difficulties, they look for a way of letting someone know. So I don't discount all of the answers that we were given. So what's happening now that we have these two surveys and we're moving forward? Well, there's some good things. Each of the counties is up and running. Two of the counties chose child abuse, and those two were rural counties, and they had some real issues going on out there, and those are also some areas where there's some known drug activities, and I don't know if you're interested or if you know about the whole drug endangered child movement, but some of those things are probably really going on in those rural counties surrounding ours. And so we've started the Period for Purple Crying, which is targeting parents who are bringing newborns home, letting them know that there are going to be times when that child does not stop crying. You are not able to comfort that child, and these are the things you can do to cope, and it doesn't mean you're a bad parent. We're trying to approach it in a non-CPS blaming way where it's mandated, it's all voluntary, and hoping that that will spread not just from the parents but to the grandparents and to the neighbors to try to help people stop abuse of the younger child. The other thing they've started in those two counties are called parent cafes. Some of the churches are sponsoring them. I think a couple of schools are holding them where the parents can go in or the provider, child care provider, can go in and just talk about issues. Hey, has this happened with your child? Has this happened with your child? And they do have focused topics, but it's a non-threatening way to say, I want to learn how to be a better parent without saying, I'm a bad parent. So, and that's really the way we frame it. How can we help you be a better parent? Not, you've done something wrong, and this is a punishment. You have to come to these. So those two have started in two of the rural counties. Another county, Denton County, chose mental health. And they're working closely with University of North Texas on a web-based application that the school is helping to sponsor. And it's also kind of having to deal with referrals, but also information, and making it be okay to have a child that has problems and an easy way to get access to care. In Tarrant County, we already had sponsored a number of coalitions. And so we didn't start any new ones, but we continue to support coalitions for safety, safe kids. We have dental coalitions, Save a Smile, mental health connection, coalitions tied to access. So we didn't foster anything new there, but we're continuing to support those that are already present. The ones that are really hard to deal with are the ones with weight, because as you know, it's not something you can move easily, and there's so many things that you think are good but are not, or you're just not sure. And we're trying to look at health literacy in a different way. So when you tell a parent you need to eat more vegetables or your child needs to eat more vegetables and fruits, the other day I told someone, I said, I think this French fry is a vegetable because I'm stressed and I need it. So it's not just about eat more vegetables, but can you do it without frying it? hello, we're in the South. Grease is a condiment. You know, we don't think that way. So yeah, have the apple, but does it have to be, you know, fried apples? You know, that goes great with those pork chops. So you have to really not just say, eat more fruits and vegetables. You have to say, how do you cook it? You know, you have to say, it's okay to use frozen because it's just as healthy as the fresh, which may be costing you more money. So we're really looking at ways to partner with others in the community about getting that message out that will help with the nutrition and exercise. Our hospital has also made a huge step towards those who are asthmatics coming into the system. And they are going to start doing some things that are more home-based. Home visits if you enter the ER X amount of time, more time with asthma educators, even to the point of if it's the physical things in your home, such as your mattress or your pillows, how can we help you either get new ones or help sponsor you getting some at a reduced rate because you can't afford it? Talking about the flooring, things like that, where we don't want to keep seeing you coming in getting care at our facilities for your asthma, but there's got to be a break in that chain. So for us, it's an exciting time. We're really moving forward. I am hopeful that we will see changes. In some areas we have. I know one of the counties, I think Hood, really obesity wasn't their topic, but their obesity really dropped in that county. And I think it's because they're paying attention not just to their topic, but anything around their child because they're becoming more aware. And once you start working on one issue, you start going, hey, what about this? Or, you know, I know I'm going to get that survey again maybe in a few years. I want to be able to say, you know, my child's general health has improved and mean it. So I'm wearing a little turtle today because it really reminds me that, you know, you can race and run around and some things happen very quickly, but most of the things in this type of work do not. It's, you know, you slug through every day, you have setbacks, you just keep going. All of these things didn't happen overnight. It took a generation or two, and that's what's going to happen to turn it around. It's not going to happen overnight. So we'd really like for you to ask us questions about the survey, about the process, about any of their numbers on these three topics. We encourage you to go to their website and use whatever it is you want to use. It's all out there and free. Another thing that's happening is Dallas County has used the same survey in the last 2 months. They fielded it to 5,000, a much smaller group. But ideally, we'd love to see everybody in Texas using this assessment so that we really could compare the regions and, you know, the parents across the state. But it's applicable to anyone, anywhere. If you make changes for the better, share them with us because we want to improve too. And it's nice to kind of see it moving out just from our six-county region to the Medicaid territory to us to the east. So any questions? I'm going to repeat it because they said it won't be recorded if I don't repeat it, and then we'll try to answer them. Anybody? Yes, sir?
Sorry, I missed the beginning, but you might have said this in the beginning. Is this related to anything you're doing with the CHNA work, community health and use center?
This, we started it in 2008. So we had two cycles underneath our belt before it became the mandated thing to do. Now, the good part is this will count as our requirement, and I think more hospitals in our area will start using it because of that. But so it was prior to that, but it can count towards that.
I guess a follow-up would be, is there an effort to hook up with health departments?
Right. So the question is, the question is, will this survey help health departments with their accreditation and CHIP requirements? We work closely with the health department. They were part of the technical team in the beginning. And I will imagine that this data will be used by them in some way. We also share data with a local group called the Dallas-Fort Worth Hospital Council, which collects for all the hospitals in the area, and the departments of health are also involved with that. So I think this will go into the repository for everyone to have use of. If anyone makes a request, we give them the data set, if it's whether it's public health or one of the academic organizations. There's got to be something else. Yes, sir?
Did the deep-fried Quincy man show up at the Texas State Fair this year?
He did, and I heard it was very good. And the deep fried Thanksgiving dinner was also there, which, you know, really just, I think, had to have been tremendous. Yes, ma'am. There are questions. She asked, the question was asthma and triggers in the school and how we're addressing that. There are questions on the survey asking, has your child missed any days of school this past year related to asthma? What we're doing as a hospital is we have hired the company Health Teacher, and we gave every school district in our area the opportunity to sign on. Quite a few of them did. I think we have over 300 and something schools where they have signed on, gone through the introduction, and are actively using some of the lessons. Asthma education is one of the components they can click on. I'm sorry. And then part two is each coalition in the counties has people from the school district. So, and my boss, has actually gone and talked to most of the superintendents, and that has been discussed. There were some papers done by some individuals at UNT Health Science Center tied to asthma, and so we have forwarded those to many of the school districts. I think one of the things that has come up with some of them is changing of cleaning products, but it's something we don't have any control over. So we have provided education. We have invited them to the coalitions. They are actively involved, but we don't follow up as the hospital to say, have you actually done this? You're welcome. Hello, Dr. Moya, do you have a question? Okay. Yes, ma'am.
A couple of years ago, there was a large study, and I'm sitting here trying to think of the name of it, that looked at the relationship of abuse in children to rates of obesity in other ways. And there was a fairly high correlation if you exclude for, you know, deep fried Twinkies.
Wait a second, Kelly. You have to come up and talk. So the question is the association between obesity and mental health.
Mental health abuse. Yeah, I looked at the BMI differences of the abused children and then between my two samples, and there were no differences, which was surprising to me as well.
Yes. There are minimal questions about substance abuse. It's asking the parents if they have talked about it, asking if they think their child has done something. I think for the parents themselves, it asks if the parent drank or smoked while they were pregnant. One of the things that's sticking out from the person who's working on this currently is that those are the types of questions that are sensitive that are skipped. And we looked at a question. We did a newsletter to parents about communication, and one of the things that they really struggle with communicating with or talking to their child about is drinking, smoking, sexual, blah, blah, blah. So I think it's something that if we keep mentioning it and, you know, tapping on the door, maybe they'll start talking and thinking about it more. But it's such a fine line between what you put on that you don't want them to leave it blank or skip it, and then you've wasted your spot, but you really do need the information. So we do have a few questions, but not very many. Anybody else? Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure being here. And if you didn't sign in, please sign in when you leave. Our organizers were hoping to make sure we have an accurate count. Thank you very much.